are. Joseph's story begins September 24th. We're a little late, but, you know, I get carried away talking about stuff someplace else, and we don't get started. But today we learn about Joseph. Joseph is a very interesting young man, and his story is one that challenges us, and I think this is for that obstacles can come as part of a divine plan to make us go to the place we need to be as individuals. I'm sure everybody says amen. I love that idea. I want to go through hardships. I want to go through betrayals. I want to have all these difficulties in my life so I can be what God wants me to be. And I don't think many sign up for that agenda. So, I like this quote. I got it from somewhere. Jewish people, I got this from a rabbi. I believe that's who I got it from. Jewish people, who they are today is ancestry, the trials, triumphs of those who had come before us. So the trials and triumphs of those of their ancestors. And it's important that we... I'm gonna give you the conclusion of my sermon today before I start Sunday school. I'm gonna talk about the monarch butterfly. Now, the monarch butterfly represents transition, and we know that they get their I always call them worms, but they're not worms, they're caterpillars. Now, how can a caterpillar ever dream or think about becoming a butterfly? But what happens is, and the thing that was so amazing, you know, they eat and eat and eat, then they put their chrysalis together, and there they change. And if you tear that chrysalis apart, it's nothing but goo. It's nothing in there. But then all of that transforms into a butterfly. But the thing that was an awakening to me was, number one, they fly as high as 10,000 feet. Ha, ha, ha. And they go to Mexico. But the ones in the summer live 2 to 3 months. The ones in the winter live 8 to 9 months. And so what one begins here and can fly for two, three months, lay hundreds of eggs, die, and the next generation comes along and continues the journey until they get to Mexico. Wow. It's like, I'm going to teach my kids how to do this, but I'm not there to teach them. Well, I find out that it's like they know to get there. And that's why they're so transitional. I mean, they're here for a while and gone. And they only eat milkweed, certain types of milkweed, because that makes them toxic to most predators. Except there's two kinds of birds that will eat them, and squirrels, but they're toxic to most animals. So in the lesson we see with Joseph, we see how that God has made a promise to Abraham, and then the promise goes to Isaac, then it goes to Jacob, and now the promise is relying on Joseph. And it's almost like the butterfly, you know, new generation takes up the next journey. The new generation takes up the next journey. And that's what we see with the children of Israel. Wasn't that interesting? Did you know that before? I didn't know that before. I thought, well, how on earth do you know it flies at 10,000 feet? Well, they said there were glider pilots who saw them at 10,000. Another commentary said they saw them at 11,000 feet. And it depends on the air currents to get them where they want to go. They weigh less than a paperclip, and they fly at 3 to 4 or 5 miles an hour. Let's go to Mexico, 3 miles an hour. Enjoy the trip, I'll take a plane. So, and it's like the expression, everything we build on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. That's an expression that I remember quoting some time ago. that whatever we are doing, we're building on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. And so we see the value of who we are and the transitional changes that go in us, and that we're always in this position of transitioning. And we'll talk about that in church. But Genesis 37 begins with the account of Joseph, introduces the story primarily, the primary characters, establishes the main story of Joseph's narrative. So we have the main story of Joseph, what happens to Joseph. Now, we find where Joseph is with his brothers. That's where it starts. He is alienated from his brothers. His brothers throw him in a pit. His brothers sell him as a slave. Now, in hindsight, we look at this and we can say, well, you know, we know where he's ending up. But you see, it's just like us. We don't know where we're going to end up. We just know we're on this journey. And I found this out in his studies, that Joseph, being a slave and in Potiphar's house and in prison, he was there for 13 years. So it isn't like he was, you know, 6 months hard labor. He was 13 years a slave in Potiphar's house, things going well, framed, you know, goes to prison. He's been there a while, forgotten in prison, and he's 13 years in prison. Finally, he sees, you know, his Pharaoh has the vision and so on, and his life changes from the one of being a slave and in prison to one of being second in command of Egypt. So whenever we have dreams and aspirations, who's the one who can tell, and why should we ever allow ourselves to dismiss the dream? What is it that God, where does God want to take us? In this story of Joseph, God does not speak to Joseph. You know, most of the time we have God speaking to Abraham, God speaking to Isaac, Jacob, you know, wrestles with him, puts his hip out of joint, you know, all those types of things. Doesn't happen to Joseph. He just has a dream. And God does not interrupt the bad things going on in his life. So, you know, those are things that we'd say, well, why didn't he just pray and get out of the situation? Because the situation was was necessary in order for him to fulfill what it was that God wanted him to do. So the challenge, and again, this is coming back to the idea that what we do, what we're doing, how we're doing it, is part of who we are, and that we are challenged to change. So Joseph's story continues the theme of the covenant by demonstrating the gradual fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. It was God's way of fulfilling God's promise to Abraham, because the children of Israel, Jacob, his name changed to Israel, the children of Israel needed a place where they were safe enough, secure enough, to become a nation of 1.5 million people. But in the process, they became slaves, and in that process, they needed to become, they needed to be delivered, and that's where Moses comes in. All right. So the Joseph, I don't know why they just, this is what the commentary says. The Joseph literature, I like that. The Joseph literature is distinctive from the patriarchal stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is the longest of the ancestral narratives. God does not appear to speak to Joseph, and God's covenant promise to Joseph are not recounted. They're not said to him, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, that's not recounted. Nothing is said to him but just these dreams. Preceding the patriarchal narratives depend heavily on God's appearance. So the other, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they depended on God's appearance to them, and Abraham, a couple times God appeared to him and spoke with him. But in Joseph's story, all we have is symbolic dreams. That's it. Symbolic dreams that take him and kind of sustain him through the difficulties. And we know that Joseph is a godly person, because he, after his, I believe it's 22 years, his brothers, he meets his brothers for the first time. since they, you know, sold him as a slave. We have 13 years in prison and Potiphar's house. Then we have 7 years of plenty. Then we have 2 years of drought. So that comes up to 22 years. So it's 22 years that approximately that Joseph has been away from his brothers. So it's no wonder they didn't recognize him. He was 17 when he left. And now he's 27, 37, he's 39 years old, 39, 40 years old. If any of you changed from the 17? You didn't change, okay. All right, so we're still the same. Haircut's different, yeah. Ears are lowered. No, they're higher. The hair's gone. It's only when Joseph's story has a resolution, as in Pharaoh, and one of the other things is, we'll jump ahead and come back, Joseph doesn't, it appears that Joseph doesn't recollect his dreams until his brothers come and bow before him. Then he knows, wow, that was God. And that's whenever he tells his brother, you guys meant it for evil, God meant it for good. He has this profound understanding now about what's going on and why the story is as it has been. Until the end, we are only given hints and clues about the actions of God. God does not intrude to right the wrongs. You know, God doesn't intrude to right the wrongs. He doesn't stop the caravan. He doesn't stop the brothers from selling him. He doesn't stop the hatred that his brothers have towards him. God doesn't stop any of this. He allows it to go through. All right, Jacob's favorite son. I better get moving here. We have, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph, being 17 years old, so we know how old he is. He was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah. How do you like that? I got him pronounced. I'm just so proud of myself when I look this guy up on the internet. I like the way he says it. And we shall pronounce the word Bilhah. Bilhah. And then we shall pronounce the biblical name of Zilpah. I like him. He says, you know, most of them go, Zilpah. It's like, what? All right, I know, get back to the story. So he's 17 years old, and the lad was with is the sons of Bill. Okay, so these are his brothers, his half-brothers. Jacob has these other two wives, and these are the sons of these other two wives. That's who his father's wife. So Joseph brought unto his father an evil report. Yeah, Dad, you won't believe what these guys are doing. Now, it doesn't say what they did, but I remember one of the TV stories says that they were killing the lambs that they were watching and eating them. Well, as a shepherd, you can't eat your flock. So that's what the TV said. So you know you can trust the movie. So anyhow, they did something wrong, and so Joseph is reporting this. I mean, this is not right. He doesn't watch the flock. He's not out there. That's not his job. He stays with his father, and, you know, he's his father's favorite son. And his father sends him out there. Tell me what your brothers are doing. Oh, this is what they're doing. Oh. So anyhow, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they disliked him strongly. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So if you can imagine, here are these brothers, that what is their conversation? Do you ever notice that when people start a conversation of hatred, that everybody can jump in with their own story? And they keep building on this. So they keep building on the idea that Joseph has to, something has to be done with this kid. I mean, he's a pain. You know, we don't get the attention we need because our dad is giving it to him. So he needs, something has to be done. So what else we got here? So Jacob demonstrated his favoritism by giving Joseph a special robe of many colors. Now, we don't know exactly what it looks like. It's probably, we think, you know, if you imagine at that time, it's just, they all wear robes of some sort, clothing of some sort, and, you know, they made out of the wool from the sheep or something to that effect. Well, here we have Joseph's coat that this, it had gone through the process of dyes and, you know, color, you know, added color to it. So you could see Joseph coming a long way off. And they did in the next section here. So Jacob's blatant act of favoritism kindled his son's hatred for Joseph, that they couldn't say a kind word to him. So we could say it's Jacob's fault. Yeah, yes and no. But you see, everyone is responsible for their own actions. And Jacob did the wrong thing and, you know, putting Joseph above all the rest and just kind of neglecting them. But we'll go on. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. Oh, so this is Joseph. He just feels compelled to tell his brothers this wonderful dream he had. Let me tell you how great I am and how poor you people are. Exaggerating, but so Joseph has these dreams, and these are his community. These are what he believes is going to be his future. This is the only thing he has that's going to maybe sustain him in the difficulties. But we also know that the full realization of these dreams doesn't happen for 22 years. All right, so. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. Sheaves are the stalks of grain. You know, you collect them, then put a rope around them, stand them up. Those are sheaves. And so they were binding them in the field. And there arose and my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. They showed great respect. Can you imagine what his brothers? I want you to know, you showed great respect to me. Wow, aren't I wonderful? Again, I'm playing it up. But anyhow, his brothers would have interpreted that way. And and his brothers said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" Little animosity going on. Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his words. And I had a second dream. And guess what? He told it to his brothers. This challenge is, if you have a dream, don't tell people. Don't share it. Because they're going to say, "Who do you think you are? What do you think is going to happen? Where did you get that idea?" You know, nothing is worse than having a dream and something in your heart, and you tell people and they're like, "You're nuts. You're never going to happen." Well, he told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have a dream more. And behold, the sun," okay, now we not only have sheaves of grain, now we have the sun and the moon and 11 stars. 11 brothers and 11 stars, mom and dad and 11 stars all bowed down to me. Well, he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. "I'm not bowing down to you." And said to him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So you can see why they don't like him, his father's favorite. He's elevated above them, and he has a coat of many colors, and then he has these dreams. So they saw his dreams as excessive arrogance, and he was just craving power, and he wanted to take his father's position over them, and they weren't going to have it. So verse 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here I am. So dad says, I want you to go find your brothers and see what's going on with them. Now, doesn't Jacob understand they don't like him? You know, but perhaps he's thinking for his sake they won't do anything, or who would ever dream that something bad would happen to his favorite son? And when they saw him afar off, okay, his coat of many colors, he stood out in the distance, even before he came near to them. So they saw him coming afar off, and they conspired. What are we going to do with him? You know, this is whenever the mob mentality grows, and they keep saying, you know, we got to kill him, we got to do this, we got to do that. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer comes. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see that what will brother we and we will see what will become of this dreamer. If we kill this guy, we are stifling his dreams, and he's never going to, let's see what kind of dreamer this guy is. And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. So Reuben's the good guy. Reuben is the good guy who's trying to save Joseph. And he talks them out of killing him. So, and Reuben said, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. And lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him as to his father. So what he wants to do is put him in the pit, don't kill him, I'll come back and get him later. And take him to dad, and dad can protect him and know that he's not safe around his brothers. So so earlier the brothers rebuffed Joseph's dreams, but here it is evident that the dreams are a threat to them. So they don't see him as just the younger son, the favorite of their dad. They see him as a threat. And you know, whenever you have three wives and 12 kids, somewhere in there, and they all have their own status according to their mothers, that Joseph wasn't to their mother, therefore his mother and his brother, you know, his brother and Benjamin and Jacob, excuse me, Benjamin and Joseph, they're going to be the favorite of dad, and they're going to rule the clan, and we're not going to have any power. So these brothers of these two wives are kind of conspiring that we got to take the power away from them before dad gives it to them, and we have to serve them. It's when people have too much time in their hands. You know, they've been watching too many horror movies. They've been watching Sheep. So what happens is they did not put their fears in check. They did not deal with their hatred of their brother. So then Judah said unto his brethren, what profit if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? And this was somewhere in here. Reuben's proposal prevailed against his mob of the brothers of not killing him. But Judah says, why can't we make some profit out of this? And come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. He's our brother. That's funny. We won't kill him. We'll sell him as a slave. He's our brother. You don't get that when you read that. Okay. But, and his brothers were content. We'll sell him. And they sold him for. So then they were, then there passed by the Midianite merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. We got some money out of this. So, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. So this is, can you imagine a 17-year-old who's basically lived in his father's tent? He's not been exposed to the elements, only his family's infighting. And now he is, he's sold to a group of Ishmaelites that probably doesn't understand their language, or maybe he does, but he's a slave. And when you're a slave, your life is over. Nobody ever escapes from slavery. And so he's a slave going to a far-off country. He's never going to see his father again. Life is over. But see, this is where Joseph, and the challenge for every one of us is to be the best person we are wherever we are at, in spite of the circumstances. That's the challenge of Joseph. Be the best possible person you can be where you are at. As a slave, he serves Potiphar. As, you know, and in the prison, he serves the prison masters. He serves everybody in the prison. So we find that this is what happens with Joseph. And this is, you know, I get jump ahead on Joseph's life, but he is one very unique person, because God does not intervene or interrupt the process of bad things happening. So this is the scripture that would say all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, even if it takes 13 years. So they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. He rent his clothes and returned unto his brothers and said, "The child is not what I, whither shall I go? The boy is not here. Where can I go now?" That's what Reuben is, you know, his anxiety, his distress over this. His cowardliness resulted in the selling of Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And 20 pieces of silver is the estimated value of a young slave at the time. And verse 31, and they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goat and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or not." what a bunch. We don't know if this is Joseph's coat or not. I heard that too. When I was reviewing this, and I don't know where we were at, and this came on, and it's like, that's perfect. So I thought that was funny. But anyhow, I'm enjoying this too much. So anyhow, lies. I was going to do that in church, so I probably still will, but we'll see what happens. What else? And he knew it, and is this our brother's coat? What? Oh, well. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort Jacob. And Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And everyone, his sons and daughters, came to comfort him. For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, and an officer of Pharaoh's, and captain of the guard. So, ironically, the son's act of deceiving their father mirrors Jacob's own deception of his father. Jacob did this. He deceived his father, Jacob and Esau. He deceived his father. Now his sons deceive him. Family history. Sometimes what you sow, you shall reap. And in this case, Jacob reaped what he had sown, and it brought great sorrow. But one of the things we'll notice, and I quit, is that repentance is something that we never read of it in the scriptures. And we know that Jacob repented to Esau in some ways, but we don't know, perhaps he did, the full extent. But repentance is like erasing, letting go of the sorrow and the hate, and the brothers never really come to that point of asking for forgiveness. But we find repentance is something that frees us from the past, breaks the chain of deception in people's lives. And that's where we don't have to be in fear of what happened in the past, because we have repented and we ask God's forgiveness, and we grow from those experiences where God does not interrupt the pain in order for us to gain what his knowledge would be in that situation. So we go on, and Joseph is coming up in the next hour. And next week we have Joseph and Pharaoh. We have him going to Potiphar's house, and then we have him going to the court, the council, the Pharaoh, king, the head man in Egypt. God, we thank you that what is before us is limitless. We may think, well, we've gone this way, we've gone that way. Lord, your plans for us are not over until we reach you. So we pray for your guidance. We pray for our hearts to be open, to be receptive to what you have for us, and just ask your blessing to be upon our lives and the events of our life. May we see them as your hand directing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Lies.